Beyond the Mic with Sean Dillon.
We're joined on the start line by a journalist father and, as Sanjay Gupta called him, a, quote, clear-eyed chronicler of addiction, unquote. You've seen his memoir, Beautiful Boy. His latest book is Yoko. We welcome best-selling author David Sheff.
Oh, thank you, Sean. Thanks for having me on your show.
David, let's go beyond the mic. Today, journalists are lucky to get 10 minutes with an author, musician, or movie star. But you spent 3 weeks with Yoko Ono and John Lennon in 1980. You've helped produce Heart Play, Unfinished Dialogue. How did your relationship bloom from an astrological reading to your friendship with Yoko today?
Well, it's exactly right that it did start with an astrological reading. I got a great assignment. I was only 24 years old, but this assignment to interview John and Yoko for Playboy magazine. But of course, first I had to get them to agree. I made some inquiries and I got a call from somebody who asked me when I was born and where I was born. And when I told them, I got a call the next day that Yoko had actually read my astrological charts, did my numerological charts and read tarot cards and did all these things that she was invested in and made the decision based on that, you know, that I would get this great opportunity to interview them. So that was 1980. And I spent 3 weeks with them in September of that year. It was an extraordinary time. I spent time in their apartment in New York City and in the recording studio as they were making the Double Fantasy and Milk and Honey records. I took walks with them in Central Park, had coffee with them, went out for dinner, came home, wrote up the interview. And then it was 3 months later or less. It was actually, I guess it would have been two months later, October, November, 2.5 months later that I was watching, TV, Monday Night Football, and Howard Cosell, the announcer, interrupted the game to announce that John Lennon had been killed. Like everybody else in the world, I was, devastated and stunned. And I got on a plane immediately to try to go back and see Yoko to offer my condolences and support. But I couldn't get in to see her. You couldn't get even near the Dakota building where they lived because there were so many fans outside grieving and mourning and crying and singing John's songs. But about a week later, I did get in to see her and she was just broken after having been through what she'd been through and losing her, not just her husband, but her partner, her creative partner, her soulmate. And she very, very slowly over the course of these next years recovered. I mean, in some ways she never fully recovered from John's death, but she did recover and we became friends during that period of time. And it was only, after decades later when I decided to go back and revisit that time with them and revisit my relationship with her and write a biography that I felt was missing. Yoko's story, is an extraordinary story, but always it's been told as a sideshow of the Beatles story and of John Lennon's story. And so I wanted to create a book that really delved in deep into Yoko's life, before John, with John, and after John.
Yoko always wanted to keep John's image secure and relevant years after his assassination. But in doing so, how was she punished?
Well, she was punished from the beginning of when she got together with John. I mean, she was viewed as, the dragon lady who had stolen our Beatle, as one of the interview subjects of my book, described it. She was vilified and she was loathed. And because, she was blamed, of course, for the greatest crime imaginable, breaking up the Fab Four. And then after John died, that old stereotype just never fully went away, even when she went on and continued her own life and continued to make music and art on her own. And then Nadine also took on this enormous responsibility of trying to keep John's image alive and keep him relevant. And so she spent years, all the years of her life since, I mean, she's 92 now. And so she spent this time since 1980 doing her own work, but also making sure that John is not forgotten. And she's done an incredible job with that. There have been box sets, there's been movies, there's been TV shows, there's been books. I mean, John is as relevant now as ever.
David Sheff, author of Yoko, joins us beyond the mic. And it's time for the Rocking Eight. All this is, David, is 8 random questions. Answer with the first thing that comes to your mind. There's absolutely no pressure.
All right.
What's your favorite John Lennon song?
Oh, gosh. Mother from the Plastic Ono album. He's just He's just screaming out his pain, and it's such a beautiful, inspiring song. And of course, I also have to mention Magic, although you said I could only choose one.
Who's the one person you interviewed whose answer surprised you?
You mean as a journalist who I've interviewed?
Yep.
Oh, gosh. So many. I mean, I did a major interview with Steve Jobs way, way before there was anything called the internet. And he predicted basically the iPad and the iPhone. This was way, way back also in the early 1980s. So he's one. And John and Yoko actually during my interviews with them surprised me a lot because they were so candid.
When was the best hug with your son, Nick?
Oh, gosh. The ones that I get even now. I mean, Nick now, I mean, you know, I wrote this book about Nick when he was strung out as a teenager and in his early 20s on methamphetamine and heroin. And he's now, you know, 12 years sober, and he has, he just had a baby. So he's made me a grandfather. And so, and he lives not too far from where I live, and we go on these great walks, and, you know, I get in all those hugs I can with Nick and also my new grandson.
Your favorite piece of art from Jasper is what?
Oh, gosh. There's actually a movie coming out called Catching Out. I'm skipping the name of it, but anyway, it doesn't matter. But Jasper did the art for the music, for the movie. He did t-shirts and billboards and graffiti, and it's really pretty extraordinary.
What chore does your wife Karen depend on you just to do?
Oh, I'm in charge of, she does everything except for the cooking and the cleaning of the kitchen. That's my job.
What's the one thing about Daisy that makes you smile?
Oh, basically everything Daisy does makes me smile. She's my youngest, and I can't believe that she's 28 years old, but she's also a painter, just like my wife Karen. And she's had these extraordinary exhibitions around the world, and she continues to do that. And she has this dog that she's obsessed with. And when I see her, we go on these fabulous walks together, and that's kind of my heaven.
How about the best thing about a dog?
Oh, this dog is, she got him when, at the beginning of COVID, he was tiny, a tiny, tiny puppy, had no idea that he's turned into this massive 110-pound beast who is still takes over the whole bed at night, even though he's supposed to sleep on the floor.
Quote, Yoko imagined a better world, and she worked to create one, unquote. You said that. Has Yoko outlived her haters and had the last laugh in creating a better world?
Well, I wish I could say that she has. I mean, the biography has just come out, and I hear from so many people who are Yoko fans, but I also still hear from people who say the same old things. You know, Yoko broke up the Beatles. They look at her as the Dragon Lady. And so at the same time, you know, her art has been acknowledged to be as important and pioneering as it was. Her music has been lauded. I mean, I interviewed people like David Byrne and Cyndi Lauper and Thurston Moore and Kim Gordon and many others for the book, who all just talk about what an inspiration Yoko was as a musician. So I think it's turning around, and I think people are getting it. They're understanding what it was that John wanted people to see when they looked at Yoko, which is what he saw, which was this, you know, incredible person and this incredible artist.
It's time for One Big Question with David Sheff Beyond the Mic. Quote, Yoko had come to expect disappointment, but each time she couldn't help but hope, unquote. As we approach a day where Yoko is no longer on this earth, what's the one thing people need to know about her love of family?
That Yoko was known as cold and uncaring. But in fact, she was, in addition to being this brilliant artist and musician, she also was sustained by the close relationships. When she lost her husband, when she lost John Lennon, she lost her partner and her soulmate. But she still had her children, Sean Lennon and Kyoko Ono. And now she has grandchildren as well. And I think that if a person who advocated for peace throughout her whole life finally has some peace, it's because of her relationships with her family.
He loves John Lennon's song, Mother, is in charge of all the cooking and cleaning at home. The book is Yoko, author David Schiff. Thanks for taking the time to talk with us today.
Thank you so much, Sean.
And that, my friends, is a Beyond the Mic Shortcut. If you're enjoying these conversations, please check out another Beyond the Mic episode to find more actors, artists, and people you need to know. We'd also appreciate a like and subscribe on the Good Pods app.